I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool house, huh? It's awesome. Championship house right here. Thank you for everybody for coming out to everybody. It's such an awesome feeling to sit in front of you guys and the whole world celebrating a championship. I think it's everything that we all work for here. And I just want to congratulate everybody from top to bottom, starting with our fans, followers, supporters, people that have covered us. It's just an incredible feeling. It still hasn't sank in to me from ownership to players, coaches. Front office, everybody that works, everybody that put this together. It's such a big thing for our team, our city, our country, to get to this moment. You can't even describe it, and it's why we work. I think of this time last summer, and I think I was sweating the same way last summer, too. I don't know why I do all these workouts before I come here and I end up sweating, but a different kind of sweat, I think, from last summer. And when I think of the growth of the team, how it all started, obviously the acquisition of Kawhi. And let me go back and say again to DeMar DeRozan and Casey, Coach Casey and Jonas Valanciunas, the foundation and what all our young players and these guys laid for us to get to this moment is huge. And I want to use this opportunity again to thank them. The growth of the team was started by them. And just the acquisition of the great player like Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, everybody talks about a gamble, you know, if these players, to me, the deals are deals, and if these players don't come with the passion that they have, and he doesn't come with the passion that he has, and leadership, and Kyle Lowry, and all our players, the growth of Pascal. Congratulations to Pascal. Yesterday was an unbelievable moment for not only a spectacular player and his bright future, but what it also means for us on the continent of Africa. But I think of all the stages we've training camp, our young players, the growth, even how in the beginning it was, I don't want to say awkward, but, you know, because of Kawhi's personality, you know, it took time to build trust on both sides. And you start to build that and you start to see it come together. Obviously, Kyle, his growth, all our players, the coaches, Nick Nurse, his growth, and what an unbelievable year, first year for him. I honestly can't describe it. This is why we work. I don't think the trophy is not here. I was just going to come and put it down and like walk off, and walk back to Africa. but this is why we work. I say it, and it's everybody, you know, like to get an NBA championship is so hard, and you need plenty of luck. I do want to congratulate Golden State for how long they've done this. Those guys are true champions, and that's why I believe like what we did was remarkable to go beat them three times in a row in their gym Those guys are unbelievable. And my conversations with Curry or Bob Myers or Mr. Lacob, it was so unfortunate with what happened to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. But and sometimes things have to go a certain way for you to get to this moment. And we thank them for creating that path for us, even showing us how what true champions that they are. We're here. We're celebrating. We're working. It's on to the next. That's how the NBA is. We're on to the next issue, and which for us is coming back and being champions again. We want to experience these moments here again and again and again. And we want to believe in ourselves here and continue to. And I think this shows that we can do this. It's a huge representation for us to be the only team outside the United States to win a championship, because it inspires people all over the world. We're our focus, we're our global reach. I feel that it gives everybody confidence that sometimes not everybody had. I said that we'll win in Toronto, and I really believed it. I said that when I got here, and I truly believe it, and I truly believe that we'll win some more. I have no doubt in my mind. I think all the players are excited. I think the coaches are excited. Obviously, Nick Nurse was excited playing the guitar in the concert yesterday or whenever it was. But we have an identity now, and we're proud of that. Pat Riley said to me, the championship will never be taken away from you guys, never, ever. It lives with you guys forever. And we're proud that we were able to do this, because this is one of this is the origin of basketball in the world, and the championship has come here. Any questions you have, and if you don't, head home. Yes. For me, it's always been about Toronto. I love it here. My family loves it here. My wife loves it here, which is very important. My kids are Canadians. And you want to win more for me. And I can continue to address teams wanting me and all those things. You know, like that's a blessing in life. And I don't use it in those kind of in a way that's for me, the blessing is being wanted here and finding a place that makes you happy, and finding challenges that really make you grow as a person. And this place has made me grow as a person. I identify with this place, and I love it. You know, so in my mind, I'm here.
With Pascal winning Most Improved Player last night, what does it say about the organization's developmental program?
It's huge. I think whether you start from our scouting, Dan Tolsman, Bobby Webster, Luke Wynn, Patrick Engelbert, Curtis Crawford, all these guys, Keith Barsky, these guys do such an unbelievable job. You guys don't even understand how they wear my ass out and really wear me out, and going to places and seeing these guys and grinding and grinding and grinding and finding all these guys. And to see Pascal do that for me was it's just something else for me to see a player develop so much in 3 years, have passion. He wasn't chosen as an all-star. He still took it to another level. He had challenges here and there in the playoffs, still jumped it to another level, never put his head down, and always believed. Is what I believe, is how I think myself in the NBA. The NBA has given us an opportunity. We shouldn't, he's been given that talent. He doesn't sit back and try to be a role player or try to be just happy with where he is. He has a goal. He wants to be the best. He wants to be on top. And the last thing I'll say is we represent an unbelievable continent in Africa, and it says a lot for the youth that we represent. When we go back this summer, you can actually like look at this youth and say, this is where we are. This is the opportunity that we're getting. And by the way, we're champions. Yeah, you can actually do it, and you can go and win. And for me, whether we're in Kigali or whether we're in Dadaab or whether we're with the girls in Kakuma, whether we're in Nairobi or in Lagos, anywhere that where we are, the message is the same. And all over the world, the message is the same, that we can do it. I think four of the awards last night were won by international players. That's incredible, you know. For me, everybody, the NBA, whoever it is that's covering our games, have to pay attention to this, because this is a global reach right here. There's something going on here, a vision here that hopefully we saw 5 years ago, and maybe there's something here 10 years from now. What kind of coverage you can have from here, I don't know, but I know that when I see 40 million people watching the NBA Finals, numbers up from last year, when I see 59 Jurassic Park, when I see 9 million people watch a parade, when I see a parade like that, I don't know that you cannot pay attention to this and want more. Pascal builds that for us in the continent of Africa even. Honestly, even if I didn't, I always feel confident. You know, like our organization feels confident, and we do feel confident that he will. But Kawhi is his own man. You know, like he's shown us that since he came here, and he's a confident human being. He's an unbelievable person. He is his own person. I'm glad we got him for the year, because when I said this to you guys, that we have to be ourselves. And we were ourselves the whole year. I think he saw that. I think we built a trust there. But at the end of the day, the relationship I've developed with Kawhi, and I know the relationship this organization has built with Kawhi, we will respect his decision. No, I do respect that. I always say that the hardest thing in this business is trading a player and free agency, and we always have to be ready for both. But I believe winning a championship, him seeing who we are, working with his medical staff, combined with our medical staff, and getting him to where he wanted to be, and his priority, when he sat in the press conference, he said, again, healthy. You see where he was coming from. I've had times and times and moments with him, and we've talked about this, about from last year, his confidence getting back to this year. For us, we continue to be us, and I know he'll continue to be him. And I know what we've built here. I'm confident. And you see how these things go. I think we have to respect him for that decision that he has to make.
Well, has he given you any indication of what his priorities are? What are the things that he's looking for in terms of?
I've had like very good meetings with him the last few days, and yes, he's told me. Honestly, I'd rather keep that conversation between me and Kawhi for now. And for me, they've been positive, and He challenges me the same way that I challenge him, and I think the goal is the same, and I appreciate that.
Do you have a post-July 1st meeting scheduled, or will you meet him for a formal pitch, or is that just a situation that you're going to let play out?
I've talked to his representation, and I've talked to Uncle Dennis, and we've built, obviously, Uncle Dennis has been around with we've built a relationship with him, and once their scheduling is done, I'm sure we'll figure out a time that we will definitely meet with Kawhi.
Has there been any update from Oakland Authority on Beal tonight?
Yes. My lawyers are updating me. Honestly, I'm just with that incident, I'm going to respect what the process is there. And the investigation, and I am confident about who I am as a person, my character, and as a human being. So I'll, for now, I just respect, you know, their process there, and wait for the next steps.
Did they give you an indication of where they are in the process?
No, not really. I honestly am going to leave all my my comments till the whole investigation is done. I think that's the fair way and the right way to operate when things like this do happen. So I respect authority, and I'll wait till that happens.
Can I ask you about next year? Being champions this year,
you want more. There's no question about it. You know, like, yeah, eager for more. When you talk to Kawhi, you talk to Kyle, you talk to Fred, you talk to Serge. Serge came in the other day, and he's like, boss man, I think I really feel we can win two more. And that's their mentality, you know, like Mark Gasol, it's his mentality. That these are... speaking to Pascal, all of them want to win some more. Nick wants to win some more, and they believe. You have to believe, and when you taste it, it's over. You want to do it over and over again, and honestly, that experience of the playoffs and seeing the intensity and the roller coaster and the ups and downs and there's nothing like it, and you want to keep experiencing that, and you want more and more of it. And I can see how Golden State or all these guys that have done it are like inspired to do it again. You know, I think Kawhi understands that. That's what you know, like it comes with. And yesterday, I found myself like wearing putting on my hoodie in the airport. You know, there's sometimes you want your private space. You know, and that's understandable with everybody in life. But I know he does understand. He doesn't complain. You know, like, but I do think people should respect a person's space and the person that he is. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like we make it. I know social media and all these things are. That's what happens these days. But I feel it's both ways. You know, like give him his space. But I think in Kawhi's. In Kawhi's mind, he's probably thinking of the next thing, you know.
So how do you approach this offseason and how the team is going to look next year with Kawhi's future here kind of hanging in the balance? Do you have a plan A, say, a plan B?
You always have to, you know. That's why we do these jobs, is to plan for all the scenarios. And I have that number one where along with Bobby and Dan and Teresa and these guys, we continue to operate on that one and really attack it the best way that we can. And but in this business, you always have to have plan B and plan C, and you're always confident that those plans, as long as you prepare well, and I think our team is always very well prepared, that we would be able to deal with whatever comes our way. I've heard of the complaints. There's been complaints about
noise
from basketballs.
Yeah.
Really?
And sort of threats to take them down and stuff like that.
Threats to take the courts down?
Yeah, there's a parental rally tonight to keep the basketball hoops up.
Are you guys serious that this is going on? We'll take those courts to Africa and we'll go build them somewhere else. You know, like I don't know what the details of this is, you know, like, but my first reaction is anywhere there's a basketball court is a good thing. You know, like kids play basketball and it's my job. So I'm going to be biased towards basketball. However it's played, anywhere it's played, you know, whether it's the noisiest place or the most quiet place, I'm just going to be biased about a basketball court being put anywhere.
On June 30th, Kawhi's sort of a big domino for you guys. Do you imagine being in mostly a holding pattern until that gets sorted out?
Yes. I think our team is in a good place where we can be in that holding part and we don't have to react, you know, to anything that's done in any way. So we'll wait. He's our player and he's a superstar on our team in the league, and we'll continue to wait on that until we know otherwise. But we will have a meeting with him and we'll talk from now till then too. No, honestly, I'm leaving that to him and his group. And whenever they make up their mind, we'll be here. And I know we'll be in touch with them. Well, I've built a relationship with them where, honestly, I text with Kawhi last night. I talked to his uncle this morning. So it's for us, it's... there's that trust regardless of whatever, wherever it goes, and there'll be constant communication.
And based on that relationship and the meetings you had this week and what you know Kawhi wants from his career as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
you have to at least have a sense that you're definitely an option for him. There's an option for him to resign.
100%. There's always going to be an option. He played here last year. You know, like that's a big time option, you know, like in my opinion. I think but he's going to consider that. He played here. I think he had a great experience here, and he won a championship here.
Messiah, how has your life changed since you won? You're obviously, you're already a superstar in the NBA before this happened. Has anything changed in the days since?
I don't know about a superstar, but you know, I'm a family guy, and this is important to my wife and to my kids, to my friends. The things that are important to me are winning on the court and off the court, Kahal. And my mind now is tackling free agency and how I'm gonna get to Africa. You know, like I think by the middle of July or end of July for everything I do on the continent. Yeah, I don't see it like that, you know. Like, I'm a normal human being, normal person, and man, I can't wait to celebrate this, especially on the continent, you know, like just to give all these kids hope, you know, and for them to see that they can make it. When those girls in Samburu gave me this, you know, like I thought about winning, you know, like, and I thought about how it would be to win and come and celebrate. When I think of all those places we go to, those refugee camps, I think, why do those places exist? You know, like, they are not supposed to exist. And what hope do you give these people? Then I think about, like, where Pascal or Embiid or Giannis, and excuse me, but Giannis is not Greek. Giannis is Nigerian. Okay, so I think of where all these guys started, you know, and where I started. And I'm telling you, like, there's going to be one day I'm going to tell an unbelievable story. I guarantee you that it's going to be an unbelievable story. And you know what? That story includes a championship. And I'm so freaking proud that it does. You know, I'm so happy that the NBA has given me this opportunity, that Adam Silver gave me this opportunity, Larry Tannenbaum gave me this opportunity, or the Kroenkes, or Tim Leiweke, however it is, I'm really appreciated that I'm here, because I shouldn't be. You know, like, if you really look at life, I shouldn't be here. I'm from Zaria in northern Nigeria, and I find myself here. I find myself getting calls from presidents. I find myself, you know, interacting with Kyle Lowry or Kawhi Leonard or Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or whoever these guys are, my guys in the NBA, other GMs, and it's so competitive. And I'm sorry to rant on, you know, like, but man, this is Canada here, you know, like, what an opportunity, what a country. And I always tell some of my guys I talk to, you know, like, it bothers me that we're not confident enough, that we don't think we can do it. And there's so much opportunity here to do it even bigger than us, even bigger than what's going on here. Six players were drafted from Canada in the draft. You know, Nick Nurse is coaching the Canadian national team. How big is that? You know, eight players were drafted from Africa. This draft, how big is that? You know, like, where is it going? And what can we say is going to happen 10 years from now? That's what I know I'm about. And I know that my little boy, my little son or my daughter, one day I'm going to tell them an unbelievable story. And I say it again, it includes a championship, and I'm damn proud that it does. Oh, that's a touchy subject here, but where's my handkerchief on that one? You know what? Shani is my boy, and so is Kyle, but I really do think so. Yeah, I really do. The way basketball is growing just around the world. We saw the following. I do think that we're lucky in a place like Canada that there's room for baseball, there's room for basketball, there's room for hockey, there's room for soccer. And I remember here 6 years ago, 5 years ago, we're talking about, can any team here ever win a championship again? The soccer team does. The basketball team has. And I guarantee you the hockey team will. Guarantee they will. That's just how sports is. Sports comes around, okay? Everybody thinks it's doomsday and it's, oh, this is not going to happen. It all comes around, and it came around for the Raptors, and it's going to stay around. One of the best, I think, really, arguably the best Raptor, you know, like, ever. When you think of what Kyle has done, I tell you, the growth of Kyle Lowry from when I got here to today is remarkable. And there's something about that guy, honestly. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't that, I'd have traded his butt. I'm telling you. Yeah, because there's something about him that's all competition, that's all winning. Yeah, and honestly, people say, you know, like I know it was a tough period when DeMar was traded. I know how both of them really took it hard, and I apologize for that. And I saw the loyalty. I saw who he really was. And honestly, that's why I didn't react, because I know how he is inside him and what he thought basketball-wise. And he just continued to grow and grow. And outside of Kyle coming one day or 2 days here where he's moody or he doesn't want to practice or something, or he's never rude or he's never been disrespectful. He's just not that kind of a person. You know, like he'll go about his way or he'll go about his business. We just were not communicating all the time like we usually have during that period. And that's full transparency here. And after we had that conversation, everybody tells me it's a different person. You know, like I think he felt more comfortable. I think the whole team, everybody began to come together in a different way. And the growth, to see him have that game in game six, you know, like you have no idea what it meant to me. Yeah, you have no idea what it meant to everybody to see him just lift that. And he did it throughout the playoffs, and he lifted this team. He had a sense of calm. I give Kawhi credit, you know, like for giving us that sense of calm, that confidence, you know, like to go out there and really believe, even when we're down to the Sixers or down to Orlando or down to Milwaukee, or even when the momentum was going a different way. Kyle just remained calm, and it's a credit to him. It's credit to Kawhi for bringing that to our team. A credit to Nick Nurse for bringing everybody together, because leadership counts there.
Have you had any communication with
Marcos? You know, when San Antonio came here, I've never said this to anybody, but something unbelievable happened. DeMar came into our locker room, and to show you the class human being he is, he came up to me and he hugged me, and he asked me how my family was doing. I don't think, you know, the White House is going to be judged by whether we come or not, or if we are going to be judged whether we go or not. I think collectively we'll make a decision. I think everybody knows what my decision is. I think a priority for us would be going to see the president in our country, in Canada. And I think we'll go from there. I think that's my thoughts on that.
Sorry, going back to Kyle for a second, that meeting that you talked about, how did that come about?
If I remember right, I think we had reached a point where you could tell that there was a little bit of, you know, like just not being comfortable in the team. And I thought that was the right time to address it, especially like that it was around the trade deadline.
And I mean, was it an easy meeting once you got started?
No. I think I'll leave that between me and Kyle. But the meeting lasted about 2 hours, and it wasn't easy. It's always a difficult meeting when you're both direct and truthful to each other. And Kyle is the same way that I am. It's funny, DeMar always used to say that. And but we resolved it.
So when did the team begin the early stages of planning for the parade? And in your mind, what went wrong with the setup that day?
I think, you know, and honestly, like, my heart goes out to the people that got hurt, and I was going to come out with a statement, but I thought I'd wait till today. I will reach out to them eventually, and I know our organization has already. That was a very unfortunate situation, I'll say that. But we're learning, you know, like it's our first time, and I also had to leave this to the authorities, whether it's the police or the mayor's office or just the organizers overall. You make mistakes when you do things for the first time, and I think my feeling and my hope is that there are more championships so we can correct that. I think there was so much excitement. I didn't even, by the time we knew it had gone to 5 hours of that whole thing, you know, it says a lot about the city, the country, and how people feel. And unfortunately with this thing, sometimes there's things like this happen. But I think the police handled this very well. I thought Matt Devlin did an unbelievable job while we were on that stage of handling it. And I think we'll do better. I think it's Maya Angelou that said, when you know better, you do better.
Can I ask you what it meant to you when DeMar DeRozan came back during the season, sought you out, and spoke to you?
It meant the world. I didn't speak after that until I went home, and I went home with this face, and my wife asked me what was wrong. But it's remarkable, I think, with everything that happened last summer. I think DeMar DeRozan is unbelievable. People don't understand how hard that was for me. It was. I know it was harder for him. He's the one. He's the subject. He's the person that got traded. But man, you think of I think of the growth of that kid and even my relationship with him and where it got to, and I had to walk around this hotel in Kenya for 2 hours at 4 a.m. Just to sum up enough courage to call DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, that's 2 hours. So it's not an easy thing. I still think about that. So it meant a lot for him to come and give me a hug. And me, at the end of the day, this is life. Time heals things, and one day, I know, I'm confident that one day we'll both sit down and talk about this. I have been in touch with Coach Casey. We text, and he's been great, you know. Like, and I know time heals things, and I think with time they'll understand too why these decisions came about.
You look back at these last couple of months, what are you most proud of?
You know, I walked in the arena in Milwaukee, and we're down 2, and I'll never forget watching our players like come out of there, and Kyle nodding at me, and Kawhi gave me a fist bump, and Marc Gasol walked by me and he said, we're going to be fine. And the amount of confidence, you know, like Nick, when I spoke to him, the amount of confidence that they had was remarkable. You know, like, we played 3 unbelievable teams. Everybody forgets that, okay, Orlando was coming with great momentum from the season. I think the Philly is a phenomenal team with great size, and Milwaukee was the best team in the NBA. And then you come and play the world champions. But that moment, I think there, it really said a lot to me that that there's something, you know, like there's something about these guys Kawhi brought a lot of calm to the team, and you could tell it rubbed off, and it rubbed off really, like, honestly.
Masai, I'm just thinking about the day you brought the Lalash students here in the community building that you do Basketball Without Borders. What does your activism look like throughout the summer and moving forward?
I don't know if I can say this yet because my wife doesn't know. So this is going to get me in trouble. Yes, Basketball Without Borders I've done for how many years. It's a priority for me. And I'm really, really excited about Giants of Africa this year. We're going to 6 different new countries. And the countries will be announced in a few days here. That period in August is always... It's the best time of my life, you know, like traveling around the continent and identifying with all these people and this youth. That time of when those Lalosh kids come here every year, there's nothing like that, you know, like to see those kids and have that opportunity to come here and experience the Toronto city and a basketball game. We have to figure out ways to take it to another level to give even more youth opportunities with this great, I think, city and country and this great league that I work in or we work in is phenomenal. That's a Bobby Webster question, honestly. Like, I don't know how that works, you know. Like, I don't know what I don't know how much time you have to serve on the team and all of that. But honestly, if I could give everybody rings, I'd give everybody rings, including you guys. Doug, you're getting one regardless. Can Adam Silver hear this question right now? Trust me, we're pushing, and I know the league is. It's gonna come, it's gonna come, and I guarantee you, it's gonna be the Raptors. You know, like somewhere, somehow, there's gonna be a game in Africa, NBA game, and Adam is gonna kill me for saying all of this right now, but I'm gonna say it. You know, like when you look at all the African players, you know, like, and the growth of the league, and I think even. Adam has done such an unbelievable job with growing, whether it's the new league on the continent. It's only going to get better and bigger, and we're so excited about that. And I know Amadou Fall was just made the president of the new ball. I know it's going to happen someday, somehow, and I know we will heavily be involved. Larry is really big on that, and we're excited about that. We've spoken at length with them and their agents, and I think they know what the effect of Kawhi's decision is. But we're really approaching it like we want to bring everybody back on this team. That's a priority for us, and how we can run it back. And I think they know that, and we've had good communication towards that. I have no indication yet, and I know Bobby has been in conversations, and I had conversations with, I'm really close to Mark's agent, and we had a great conversation with Mark, so we'll figure it out. I know I think Thursday or Friday is the date. I think Pascal has gotten to a place where he's definitely a priority for us, and it's definitely going to be a conversation that we'll have. I talked to his agent yesterday, and we're going to meet in Summer League, and we'll talk. I think we'll talk some more about Pascal's future. Doug has been pushing that for how many years, sending me 10 texts every month that we should bring the WNBA here. I truly believe in women's basketball. Even our camps have increased with women's basketball. And I talked to Chine about how the NBA, the WNBA had to take a new, I think, identity, and with the new commissioner and I think new leadership there. I think that's the goal. And people are paying more attention to that league. I see more NBA players going and supporting, I think, which is unbelievable. I can't say with ownership here. We haven't discussed that honestly per se, but maybe it's the future now. We've won a championship. We can go and demand more.
Masai, you can't deny your passion for the city, and it's kind of trickled down to the fans. And you talked about identity earlier. How would you describe to people the identity of this team?
There's something about this team that reaches out to every person in this world. Yeah, there's just something unique about it. Whether you're talking about a kid from North Philly or a kid from Campton or a kid from Spain or Kinshasa or Douala or wherever. And it's not only that. I think Alex McKechnie claims he's Scottish. By the way, he's unbelievable. I think he lifted us in many ways this season with his remarkable work that he did. Whether it's Bobby Webster from Hawaii or one from all over the world, Jeremy Lin from Taiwan. It's crazy, you know, like what we represent here. And it's something that we're proud of. Yeah, we're really, really proud of, because it identifies with what Toronto is diversity. So 44 said to me when he came to the games, you know, like, is wow, look at the people, look at the different types of people at the game is unique. You come to a Raptor game and it trickles down. And I'm so proud of that. And we can even take it more to another level, because more youth are going to identify with that forever. You think about the Vince Carter effect, and then you think about the Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan effect, and now you think about the Kawhi effect. You know, so whether it's my son that's three or a lot of the kids now, this is what they are going to remember. This is how they are going to start playing basketball, and 20 years from now is going to be even bigger. I think that's what this team embodies. That's what this team, I think, shouts to the whole world.
So you mentioned Vince Carter. Any interest as he enters free agency?
Let me deal with that number one free agent first, that big one. And then we'll figure out, like, the the rest. But I saw Vince during the finals, and he's great too. He's unbelievable, and there's a place for him, you know, here in history. There's no doubt about that. There's nobody that's going to stop that.
So you're talking about this franchise in terms that are usually reserved for like a Real Madrid or a Manchester United, a global team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the vision you have? Is this bigger than the NBA?
Yes. There's no doubt about it. I said, you know, I said it jokingly, but there's a new, is United or Liverpool called the Reds or something? You know, like, we're the new Reds right here. We're going to capture the world. That's how they started. That's how they started capturing the world. And you could see in the coverage. I know the amount of people that reached out and everything you saw when we're playing. There's just a different reach from here. Let's call a spade a spade. This is what it is. And we should have seen this years ago, and we're seeing it now. Let's plan for years to come. You know, there is something here. I don't know if there should be more teams in the NBA, you know, like that are outside the United States. But this speaks a lot, that a team from outside the United States can win a championship in the NBA and can have a strong identity and identify with people around the world. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that, because this is what this game is about. This is what Adam has built, you know, like around the world. Yeah, the NBA is everywhere. We go on that screen, on that TV screen, there's no masks, there's no helmets, there's no nothing. You see the players right there, and you can watch on your phone anytime, 2-minute highlights, 5 minutes, last quarter, everywhere around the world. It doesn't matter where you are, people are watching the NBA. People are watching all these players, and we should build on that. Yeah, we should build on that. It should not be, you know, mockery of why in the cold and people don't want to come here and all that nonsense. That's past. Nobody is talking that stuff now, because we have a championship now and we believe in us. And it should be how we reach the world, not screaming mockery and making fun of the team and people don't want to come here and it's cold and whatever. I don't want to go on before I get fined.
Donovan Bailey just tweeted about you. He said, "Let me get this straight. My guy Masai traded DeRozan and Portal for Kawhi and Danny Green, and didn't even finish in the top three for Executive of the Year. I know they vote for the playoffs, but come on." What's your reaction to that, Donovan's tweet?
Honestly, like, Donovan is my guy, you know, like, I'd swap that trophy that we have here, and I wish it was here, right by me. There's nothing like it, you know. Like every other thing, you know, like is, and I honestly feel John Horst was the Executive of the Year, and I think Tim Connelly should have been right there with him. That's my opinion. Those two guys did a remarkable job with their team, and everybody in the NBA, people don't know how much a challenge this is. It's these guys, every single one of them is trying for their team and doing an unbelievable job, and I think John really deserves it, and I think Tim deserved to be right up there with him. I think the players, you know, I loved listening to Larry Bird last night. It was remarkable, like, listening to him speak. The player, we have it right here, baby. Yes. Yeah, that's the trophy. I'm taking it with me. By the way, I think Teresa Rush has like a website. Like, we have to like apply to like have it with us. Which is really cool. But what was the question again?
Yeah, about the sport. What is it that makes it so accessible to so many people?
As I say, you can. For me, the players, you know, like we've got. Every player has his own story, you know, and whether I think about our team or other players, I'm not allowed to comment much on other players, but I'm proud of those other players, you know, like. I'm proud of what LeBron does, what Kevin Durant does, what Curry does, what Giannis does, all these guys, Embiid. They carry this league in such an unbelievable way. Yeah, and the coaches, what the coaches represent and how they all have their own identities, you know. There's something to be said. The great work the NBA does all over the world is something that's really underrated. Yeah, people don't talk about. I come here and make all the noise about basketball without borders in Africa, but there's basketball without borders in Asia. There's basketball without borders in Europe. There's basketball without borders in South America. All this work and all the work that all the players do, people see it. It affects youth. You know, I saw Brad Beal yesterday come up with those two kids, you know, like from the work he does in Washington. It's incredible. You know, like it's continuous. Everybody takes pride in it. And there's something about the NBA that's different from other sports. It's a family. Yeah, we can trade all we want. Players can go to anywhere they want. We can compete with other players, other teams. But there's something about it that's a family. You know, like, and I know we're proud of it. All of us are proud of the NBA. I don't understand.
When it comes to free agency, has any of the guys came and said...
Our own players or what do you mean?
Our own players, like players on the roster right now. Have they come up to you or the team and said, we're coming back if Kawhi's coming back?
No, we haven't had those kind of conversations, I think. I have to apply to Teresa Rush. And she will tell me where I can take it. No, seriously. She tells me where I can take it and where I cannot. So I told my guy, Tim, to put in my application yesterday.
Has it ever been to Africa?
This, I think it'll be the first. That's a really, really good question. I think it'll be the first. And guarantee you is going then. Since you asked me that question, we're going to guarantee you that it has to be a first. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out. Thank you.
You got to take it?
Huh?
You got
to take it right now? You want to see me carry it out? Can I take it to Africa?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started. Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.